Keith, you ready to take a bow?
I'm ready to take a bow. Now, I've done this before, Jones, and I feel I hate getting up on like a high horse and like talking down to people. Like, that's not really what I want to have to do. But it's become comical to this point. There have been countless scoops, legitimately countless scoops at this point. I can't even count them.
Can I tell you?
Which means why they're countless.
My buddy texted me yesterday. Yeah. He heard the report. He said, what's Keith's track record? I said, pristine.
100%.
I had trouble keeping track. I was listing them off in a text. I couldn't keep track of them all.
No, and that's why it's hilarious, because then afterwards, like, when you tweet something out, or we talked about it on the show, and the immediate reaction is like, what does this guy know? And it's like, well, first of all, how does it help us to just throw out something that's wrong? And also, there's been a million things, whether it's Pastrnak, Swayman, Bergeron, injuries, trades. Like, it's all of it has been right to this point.
You had the Hampus Lindholm one.
Hamper.
I mean, I guess we haven't had that confirmed per se, but you had the Hampus Lindholm injury.
He went on the IR like the next day after
this week.
We said how long he's going to be out for. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it is funny, though, because I was going through, because you get, like, flooded, like, on Twitter. You post something on Twitter, and it's, like, nonsense. So you can't even, like, read it all. And part of it was people calling me out. And then some people would jump in there, like, after the fact when it was confirmed a few hours later. And they're like, how'd that work out? And then I'd click. I'm like, what did they say? Deleted. 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 Like, just deleted tweets left and right. Although one guy did, I sent it to you. He had a good sense of humor about it. He's like, what the hell does Keith know? And then, like, 3 hours later, he's like, you win this one, Keith. And I'm like, all right, at least have fun with it.
I like that. You win this round.
At least have a little bit of fun with it.
I hate you, but I respect you.
No, but, can we at least, I don't want to have to do the preamble again about they're right. They're correct. Like, let's just move on. It's correct. That's what it is. So we had it at 140, we had it confirmed for us, and then the Bruins, it put it out at what, 440 or something like that?
And I would applaud Keith on this too.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you had a text earlier in the program.
Uh-huh.
You said, hey, you know, I think I got a little something on the Bruins, but I gotta nail it down. I don't know, 45 minutes later?
Yeah.
You had it nailed down.
We had it nailed down.
So if you were watching or listening during the show yesterday,
right?
You see the journalistic credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Of one Rich Keefe. He didn't get one text and go right on the air with it.
Your Adam Schefters,
you have three phones for a reason.
Ken Rosenthal's, your Scoops Keefs. Sham Sharania, now that Adrian Wojnarowski has checked out of the game, because he knows it's a cutthroat game.
Honestly, you've moved up in the pecking order in the Scoops game with Woj out.
Like, probably on the Rushmore right now.
Yeah, I would say.
For your hockey guys, specifically Bruins, haven't really ventured outside the Bruins too much.
No, not yet.
Or,
well, everybody starts somewhere. No. You start on a beat. And then everybody, you know.
Like Russini. Russini got a lot of Washington Redskins scoops for a while.
Yeah.
She somehow, someway was able to get a lot of Washington scoops. And then she sort of took that and became a national reporter.
Adam Schefter started on the Broncos beat.
Thank you.
You know?
Right.
How he got those scoops, I don't want to ask.
Nope.
But,
so I'll start here.
And I would never ask you, Keith.
I'll start here and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Not bad.
Woj is reporting on New Jersey high school hoops.
Now, you know what my goal is, my lifelong goal.
What's that? No, I don't actually. What is it?
To be on the NHL Network ticker.
Okay, well, I was going to say, Keith, you're getting a little bit of acceptance from the national
hockey
media.
That's what I'm saying.
Media.
Finally, I think we had a bit of a breakthrough yesterday.
Yeah, I think so
it's
too.
Not all like, woe is me, like, where's my credit? It was, I got some. Some of the big time guys had it. Now, I didn't see the scroll. I didn't see, they didn't break into the network with Scoops Keith, and then just on the scroll. That's all I wanted to see, just on the little scroll there.
Ticker.
But Frank Ciravelli, who we referenced a few times because he had some Swayman scoops and things like that along the way.
Yeah, I think you guys were at odds on the Swayman reporting. Actually.
Yeah, he said not 10, but he was like 9.5 or something like that. So it was like, it was still in the same ballpark, but whatever. But he responded. He gave me credit. Greg Wyshynski, the old Puck Daddy guy.
Yeah, it's a problematic name now.
Oh, Puck Daddy?
Puck Daddy.
Caller Daddy.
Very popular. Maybe you got to go to that. Yeah.
Call
him
Puck Daddy is maybe what he could change.
But you'd probably
get a bunch of clicks anyway. People being like, I think this is the podcast I'm looking for. Oh, no, it's not.
Wyshynski amplified the video yesterday.
Yeah, he took our video from the show. So, like, so those guys, big time national guys, kind of respect the hustle and the scoops. The local guys, Jones, hate it. They hate it.
Yeah, I didn't see many on the local beat.
Scott McLaughlin.
Giving you any credit. Oh, yeah, McLaughlin.
Scott McLaughlin will do it.
Yep.
WEEI.com. He probably feels like he has to.
Yeah.
But nobody, but he.
Yeah, did he really want to? That's the question.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. If he was working somewhere else, would he? I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. I think he would.
Yeah.
Good guy. But everybody else just like ignores it, puts their nose in the air. And that, you know what? That's okay. That's my lot in life. You know, they want to continue to cover the team. Great. Not break stories. Awesome. But I'll be here and I'll break some stories along the way.
No, they're bitter. They're bitter is what they are. I go to morning skates. I go to games.
Yep.
I go to practices. I suck up to players.
You know
I suck up to coaches. I suck up to press people who work in the press media relations.
Right.
You know, and I do all this. I waste all this time, and I never get a scoop like this.
No.
Meanwhile, Rich Keefe sits here, gets a text, and has the scoop.
Gets a text.
And so, you know, you could
talking about random baseball players of the day. The next thing you know, you're like, oh, by the way, Jim Montgomery's fired.
So they're
like,
bitter.
The hell?
They don't like their jobs.
They're mad.
And they're big mad about it, Keith.
They're big mad about it.
At some point, the local Bruins media will acknowledge the best Bruins reporter in the town. It's not close. When it comes to a scoop.
For breaking news and scoops, right. For breaking news and scoops.
Not tongue-in-cheek, not a joke.
Yep.
When it comes to a Bruins scoop, there's no one better in this city than Rich Keefe. And you saw it play out in real time yesterday. Yep. So be bitter about it. Be angry about it. Hate your job about it.
As Billy said yesterday, jealousy is a stinky cologne.
It is.
And the whole town stinks. But that's fine. I mean, you know.
Look, hockey's a smelly sport.
Here's my only fear,
so that
Jones,
makes sense.
Is we're going to have to. That is true. The equipment. You ever smell a hockey bag?
Yeah.
Not for me.
No, thanks.
But here's the problem is people have short memories. And 2 weeks from now, I'm probably going to have another big-time scoop for you, and people aren't going to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the opposite of the boy who cries wolf. It's like, hey, guys, there's a wolf. Like, yep, there's a wolf. Hey, guys, there's a wolf. Yep, there's a wolf. Hey, guys, there's a wolf. Yep, there's a wolf. Yeah. And then finally it's like, nah, there can't be a wolf. Like, I'm telling you, for Christ's sake, there's wolves. They're everywhere. People aren't having it.
Okay. Great work by Rich Keefe
yesterday. Thank you very much. And thank you for believing in me, Billy, Nick, the station at large.
Yes. You're not going to forget the little people on the way up.
No, hell no.
That's good.
In fact, Ken Laird, man of his word.
I was just going to say this.
$20.
Look at now.
Do you think Schefter gets $20 for every scoop?
No, God, no.
What
is this? What was the Saints scandal?
Bill.
It's like a Bounty Gate scandal is what's going on here. But zoom in on that, Jonathan, if you could.
Now the whole thing is probably up in the air now. They're going to be like, Keefe was just doing it for the money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Zoom in on that. I wouldn't call that a crisp
$20. He clearly bent it and put it in his pocket, but I'll still tell you, it still spends the same.
Yeah, that's true. Two hams. That's true.
Two hams.
We're going to live for two more Bozo touchdown.
I was
going to
buy
$20 on the Bozo parlay this week.
Whoa! Let's do it. Let's do it.
Wow.
Hams.
Let it ride.
Let it ride.
Yeah, every
you can buy
scoop.
Buy remotes for all your friends.
That's amazing.
Every scoop is going to fund our gambling addiction.
I was going to buy coffee for the show, but one of us wouldn't get one. I think I could get three.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. We should.
All right, very good.
Good job. Good job by Greg bullying Ken into that $20.
He did kind of put him on the spot.
Yeah, he did. He boxed him around a little bit. So $20 richer, I would say, as a program, but great work by Rich Keefe. If you don't know what we're talking about, you heard right off the top. Jim Montgomery out. You heard it here first yesterday on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We'll get to all your thoughts on it. 617-779-7937. You can bow down to Keefe. You can also give your thoughts on what the Bruins do now. Text the show, 37937. Lots of ways to interact. On Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Always a healthy conversation going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Another great place to watch the show. Monty fired. Now what, Keefe?
Joe Sacco. And I don't know if it's going to get that big boost that you're looking for. Now, there's a chance. We've seen it in the NFL already, where two teams fired their coach in season, went to a guy on the staff. Jets, no pulse, no bounce back. Saints, bounce back.
Yeah.
Saints, Darren Rizzi, we're all over. Two games, back-to-back wins. So I think one of the reasons why they did it, too, was like the thing was going in the wrong direction. You're a quarter of the way through the season. You need to save the season. And I think the roster is still good enough to be a playoff team. Now, what does that really mean? Like, do you squeak into the playoffs and then, like, you know, do you throw a parade for that? I don't know. But you don't want to get it too much worse than it is right now. And I do think the players deserve a ton of blame, but we all know you can't just get rid of 20 players. As much as you might want to, you can't do that. So the obvious thing was to get rid of the coach and see if that can make any kind of, can that spark any kind of a change? So I think tomorrow night is pretty interesting to see what they do first game without Montgomery. Do the players feel like, man, we kind of let this guy down, and now we better, like, turn around. Maybe they really like Sacco, or is it more of the same? Sacco's been on the staff for a while. I know in a different role,
yeah,
right? But I have no idea if they're going to have like a turnaround because of the new coach. We've seen it in hockey before, but I don't know about this team.
You see teams fire their coach and go on massive runs to win Stanley Cups in the NHL. It's a weird sport, and you know the a bounce of a puck can turn your season. And so we've seen teams do that. There's a laundry list of teams that fire their coach and go on to win the cup in the same year. That's not a projection or a prognostication.
Yeah,
for
I'm
this
not
team.
Betting on that.
But Joe Sacco in. He was a Jack Adams winner during his time in Colorado, or at least the nomination. He won it, didn't he? I thought.
Jim Montgomery won it.
Yeah, and smile, fair point.
Bruce Cassidy won it.
So Claude won it. I mean, they love to fire those kind of guys around here.
Yeah.
He had a successful run in Colorado his first year, made the postseason, and then turned around and missed the postseason the next 3 years and lost his job going into the lockout. So when it comes to Sacco, he did give Colorado a shot in the arm his first year. That's really all you care about right now. I don't need this guy to be the long-term coach. I need him to wake the team up. And go to the box score Thursday when they play. Go to the box score. Look at the shots on goal. Look at guys like
Pasternak.
Look at guys like Zaka.
Are you betting anytime goal? I'm thinking anytime goal, Pasternak.
I don't know, but I might bet the shots over. I don't know that I want to guarantee any goals.
If he gets over on shots, I feel like Pasternak's good enough for
his score. It's a good point.
Yeah.
But like, go to that. Watch that. How engaged are those guys? And the shot total would just be a good way to do that. So that's the hope. You shake the team awake in the meantime. And look, there is still a chance they can make the playoffs. This team should be a playoff team.
Oh, they definitely should be.
Right now, they are actually out of the second wild card. They're tied in points with the New York Islanders. The Islanders have a game out of hand. The Bruins have a game in hand. But, you know, the Bruins can make a push for the postseason. You've seen teams do this in the NHL before. Get a shot in the arm, wake the team up, because they are more talented than they've shown. It is far from a perfect roster. It's a flawed roster. If you want to move to Neely and Sweeney and say, when is it their time? We'll discuss that coming up. And you're going to hear from Don Sweeney later today here on WEEI. I will play it for you live when he hits the podium. He's scheduled to speak during Bruins practice. Still nailing down a time on that. Oddly, I've not really heard an official time on that.
Yeah, they're scrambling.
But we will. Yeah, that's true. Keith threw them all off. They weren't ready for this press conference. And so we'll play that for you live whenever it happens here today. If you want to move to those guys, fine. That's the next step. But you need to get something out of this roster. They should be a playoff team. And if they're not, March 7th is the trade deadline, and get ready to blow things up or make some move. Like, the players now are on the clock. Sweeney and Neely are now on the clock because the easiest distraction, Jim Montgomery, lame duck coach without a contract. I know Razor told us, I never thought about my coach's contract and his job security.
Well, the team did.
These guys were. So you get him out of there. It's the easiest fix. Jim Montgomery wasn't the problem. He was certainly a problem. Now it's on the players. Now it's on Sweeney. Now it's on Neely. And if they don't perform between now and the deadline, more changes are happening. At least they should.
I mean, the deadline's not till March. I wouldn't be surprised if there's trades done way before that. I think,
Not a scoop.
How about that?
Not a scoop.
Well, the only reason why I say that is because it does take two teams to tango. But I think it's pretty fair to say that the Bruins want to make more changes. I think they want to change the roster. Now, this could be read a couple of different ways, and I don't know how to read it.
Wow.
Does this
say that again?
I think they want to make more changes. Yeah. You clearing your throat? Yeah. I think they want to make more changes, and I think they want to make changes to the roster. I think they are very upset with how things are going. Obviously, they just fired their head coach, who 2 years ago was the coach of the year in the NHL. And, you know, obviously playoffs, back-to-back seasons, but not good enough in the playoffs. So they got off to a really slow start. Trade deadline is months away. I don't think they just want to sit on their hands and take this roster under Joe Sacco and see what they can do with it. I think they try to make changes. Now, the question I have for you, and I don't know the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you adding or subtracting? Meaning, like, are you adding another big-time player?
Me? I would add, but what are they going to do? They might blow the whole thing up.
Could they subtract from the team?
I would add.
It's been pretty bad so far.
They spent like crazy this offseason. Lindholm, Zadorov, Swayman. Ugh. None are looking good, but they spent like crazy.
They all look bad.
So I would continue to buy and add to this team. That's what I would do, but my instinct is that's not what they would do.
I
don't have a scoop on this.
No, I understand.
Your pseudo scoop over here.
It is. It's not a scoop. I feel like, though, if you already have Pasternak, McAvoy, Swayman under long-term deals, I'm not trying to break that apart. And like anybody else, I don't know anybody besides those guys that it would really be truly a sell, right? Because you can kind of tinker with it. Guy that's on the third line, like, all right, you're trying to upgrade or even just change the chemistry too. Like sometimes it's not even just a talent thing. You're like, we just need to, like, remember the year they won the cup, the guys they brought in, Tomas Cabrera was supposed to be like the big addition. He kind of sucked, but then Chris Kelly and Rich Peverly were like really good. But at the time that they got him, you're like, all right, like they're not top line guys.
Those are throw in depth guys.
But like we're super helpful and like change the team. Even last year, I think Sweeney, I know he's under a lot of hot water right now. I do think Sweeney has done pretty well on some of these trades, right? Like when they got Orloff and Hathaway and Bertuzzi and like they went all in, like they didn't re-sign any of those guys, but they were all pretty helpful when they got them. And so I wonder if he's really looking around the league right now and trying to make something happen even before March 7th.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. All your thoughts and reaction to the Bruins firing Jim Montgomery, Joe Sacco now in place. Does that change anything? Are the Bruins closer to adding or subtracting? And what now for Don Sweeney and Cam Neely? Are they on the clock? You can jump in here again, 617-779-7937. You can also text the show at 37937. Keefe, we missed it.
What did we miss?
They said, will there be a kazoo party with confetti?
Oh, son of a...
For Keefe's breaking news.
Well, we can get $20 worth of confetti now. But...
We should have done the kazoos and the confetti.
We should have done kazoos and confetti.
Text son line. Come on!
Next time.
Come on, we thought it was a perfect day.
We didn't have that $20 before we came in today.
Get a giant cake? Maybe like a cookie?
Potty City right around the corner.
That's a good point. I didn't have the money.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to spend it and not get the money. Now I'm in the hole.
Should we do it tomorrow? Pretend it was today?
Yeah.
Just blast that video out. This was us yesterday.
Grab a newspaper so we can hold it up tomorrow.
Hey, we did it!
Good idea by the time. Damn it. Okay, you guys can jump in with all your thoughts on the Bruins. What's next? And, well... Who's now facing the most pressure for the Bees? We can get to that right after Trending with Billy Laney. Mike Milbury today on the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI. Pressure's on the Bruins now.
Sure is.
Their locker room. Excuse me, it's hockey, Keefe. I didn't mean to disrespect it around a well-sourced hockey reporter like yourself. Dressing room.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what you were talking about. The dressing room where they put on the sweaters.
Yes.
Thank you.
They throw their buckets on their head.
Where the club puts on their sweaters.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The club.
It's club, Keith.
Yep.
Come on.
Well, they're playing the hockey club of Utah tomorrow night.
They are. That's true.
Yeah.
They grab their twigs, throw on their buckets.
Right. No doubt.
With their sweaters.
Yeah.
The pressure's on Sweeney. The pressure's on Neely. The pressure is on the entire dressing room. Who's the most pressure on there, Keith?
I mean, I would look at the star guys on the team. I don't think it's Sacco. Now, Sacco might be short-lived. He's the interim coach. I put him to the side. It's
nothing,
like, whatever. Like,
nothing to lose.
No.
You coach out the rest of the year, probably. If you're good, maybe you keep the job. And I mean, if not, you're on to the next one.
Like, with all sports, don't you just point to the best players, especially when the best players are the highest-paid players?
Okay. So
I would say Pastrnak, Swayman.
McAvoy.
Marchand?
Yeah. Just because he's in a leadership role.
He's a captain.
He's not as highly paid, exactly, but he's still a highly paid player on the team, not as high as those other guys.
Like, it's frustrating.
And he's the captain.
Yeah, and it's frustrating.
So out of that list, who's got the most pressure on
him? Probably Swayman.
It's Swayman.
Right?
It is.
It was he's not the reason, the sole reason the team is kind of treading water and like they're at where they're at right now, but it was the biggest story in the offseason. He wasn't ready to start game one of the year. You could argue if he was even ready to start game two, which is the first game that he did start. And he's just had a horrible season. And if you're paying the goalie as much money as they're paying the goalie, you expect top five results. Like, you expect him to be one of the best in the league, and he hasn't been. Like, the whole team has played bad. Like, to Mike Milbury's point, nobody's playing great. Like, nobody's playing, like, way over their skis. So, like, if they can just get back to their level, maybe they'll be all right. In fact, most guys are playing below what you would think.
Yep.
But like yesterday, so, you know, we were looking at Charlie Coyle's season, Pavel Zacha's season, Elias Lindholm's season. None of them have been good. But still, at the end of the day, it's about the four best players on the team. Like, they have four clear-cut best players on the team. They're going to be the ones that have to carry them out of this funk that they're in. And I don't know. I think they're all really good. Like, I think that they should be able to do that. But I mean, Swayman might be the most concerning of the group. Pastrnak has to be more consistent. Like, he needs to be able to, like, the guy's like a 50-60 goal scorer in the NHL. Like, he needs to be, he can't have these big droughts. He needs to be scoring like every other night. Like, that's what you need to expect out of him.
The most pressure, and I agree with you, it's more on the players than Sweeney and Neely, but let's get to them in a moment.
Okay.
The most pressure is on the players, and the most is on Swayman. Like,
yeah.
We
turn
got
around.
We got text 37937. Did they trade the wrong goalie? I mean, Allmark's been brutal in Ottawa as well, but I would give him the edge. He's got a 299 goals against versus a 347 goals against. They have the same save percentage, 884.
Not many are worse than Swayman.
No, and Allmark's on a terrible team.
Yes.
In fairness, the Bruins are underachieving, but they should be a good team.
Mm-hmm.
So, or at least, you know, a playoff team. So I would give Allmark the edge, but like this idea that you regret trading Allmark to me is nonsense. He was never trustworthy. You can only play him half the time, and he's been bad too. But Swayman, I think, has largely skated because we're constantly talking about Jim Montgomery, his job security, how long is he going to be here, why haven't they fired him yet, et cetera, et cetera. So now the pressure goes to him. He's the face of it.
Yeah.
Pasternak's going to get blowback. Yep. McAvoy, Marchand's the captain of the team. Like, all those guys are going to get increased scrutiny. But get ready, really ready, for it to turn on Swayman. You wanted this money. You got your money. The coach is gone. The team is floundering. He's going to be the guy who gets a lot of the blowback.
Do you keep,
if they don't turn it around.
Do you keep playing him the same clip that he's been playing?
Yes.
So he has played 14 of the games thus far. He's on pace for...
Yeah, it's on him to turn it around.
57?
I'm not playing him half the time again.
I mean, not for the whole season, but he's been so
just
bad.
Just for the stretch?
Like, I wonder, like, is that something that Sacco can do? Because Montgomery already changed the lines a million times.
Yep.
So I don't think Sacco's going to come in and be like, I got a new idea for a line combination. It's like, we've kind of seen most of them. I don't know if that's been the difference. The big reason why, and Sweeney even talked about it in the preseason, they traded Swayman or they traded Allmark and kept Swayman. Both guys wanted to play 55 games, which they haven't done yet. And right now, Swayman's on pace for 57. So, like, right there with him. I wonder if you... And both of those guys, let's face it, had their most success when they would kind of ping pong.
Yep.
And they would every other game kind of thing. So I wonder, not that by any means you want to do that for a guy you're paying $8.25 million.
Yeah,
or
I
by
would,
any means you
I
want
would.
To go into next season and do it. But I wonder, does that help him get out of this funk?
Is there value in fixing him in the meantime and then you can lean back in once he's fixed?
I would consider it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I just personally...
Because Korpisalo hasn't actually been that bad, and he's been better than Swayman.
He's been better than Swayman. He's been better than Allmark. He, out of those three goals, he's been the best.
Wins. Like, you just need to pile up wins.
Yeah.
I know you want to fix Swayman, and part of like part of me thinks... All right, you're just a good player. Like, you need to figure it out, so you need to figure it out on the ice. But, I don't know, 14 games into the year, he hasn't looked very good.
What are you hearing? It's not a scoop, but it's not a scoop.
It's not a scoop.
What are you hearing again?
Folks, that they want to make roster moves. They're not content with just a head coach firing, that there might be more on the way. And, again, I don't know how to read that. I don't know if that means...
They're buying, blowing it up on the season, right.
Or they like we've seen enough and like let's move on.
Well, look, knowing what we know about the Jacobs family and knowing what we know about playoff streaks and playoff appearances and things of this nature, and knowing that they're frustrated about the team underachieving with all the money they're spending on it, my guess is they're looking to add, but that's just a guess.
Yeah,
I don't see them blowing it up. I don't see them trading Marchand in the final year of his deal. I don't see them moving Pasternak or McAvoy or big ticket guys like that. Maybe more mid-roster players they could move. They could try to turn things around to change the mix in the dressing room, which maybe isn't great.
I mean, you could do that. Like but Trent Frederick, for example, is a free agent at the end of the year. And so a lot of their, and I don't know if you would call him a core guy or not. I like Trent Frederick. He'll sock you in the mouth and maybe score 20 goals.
Like, I also like Frederick.
I like him a lot. I think he's a solid player. But if you're looking at guys that have been on the team for a little bit and you're trying to change stuff, and that are not under contract for a while. Like, Pasternak is under contract for a long time. McAvoy, Hampus Lindholm, Brandon Carlo, who, by the way, I wouldn't mind if they got rid of him, but he's at least on... These guys are all under contract for a long time, and Trent Frederick isn't. And so who knows, like, if they've even tried to extend him and maybe that hasn't gone the way that they wanted to, he might be one guy that moves. A guy that is out there a lot, and you're like, all right, at least we're sort of changing... The chemistry on and off the ice.
Right, and right. Maybe you're just trying to change the mix to get more out of the team. Yep. I could see something like that. Carlo's another good name.
Yep.
And there have been reports that teams are interested in Frederick. I mean, that's been reported. Teams are interested in him. Mm-hmm. You don't know if the Bruins want to move him, but there are reports that Frederick could be a guy that could move or at least have interest throughout the league. So that would make sense. I highlighted March 7th. I'm like, okay, that's the trade deadline. You've made your coaching move. Now it's time to sort this out. Or... The pressure is going to ratchet up on Sweeney, Neely, the roster. Keith seems to think it could happen much more quickly.
I mean, March 7th is – part of me thinks, all right, you changed the coach. Let's see if that changes things. Let's see if that changed things for the – like, sparks the team at all. But it might end up being more than that because if you know, you wait till March 7th, that's a ton of games.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's like 3 months of games.
It's a long time.
So they might want to do something a little bit sooner.
You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We're not Bruins all day. We will be getting to the Celtics as well. Huge win for them last night in the NBA Cup over the previously undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers. So you can jump in there. What's next for the Bees? Are they buying? Are they selling? And what do you do with Sweeney and Neely? Are they now on the hot seat? Again, you can jump in there. I like the text line, Keith. A lot of guessing as to your source.
Yeah, I'll never tell you.
Did somebody call in the Greg Hill Show and say
that they were?
Well, no, I thought they said something about your connection to Don Sweeney. I thought
we went to the same high school.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not at the same time. Big Sweeney's a little older than me.
So you guys were not?
No. I don't think
your class ring is different years.
Yeah. I think I've probably interviewed him twice in my life. I don't think it's not Sweeney.
So you're going on the record and saying it's not Sweeney.
Yeah. Although maybe I've said too much. Maybe I've said too much.
That is something that you would say if it were Sweeney. It's not. Good Don point. Sweeney.
That's
right.
Good point. Good point. You're right.
I don't know that I can buy that.
I'll never tell you. I'm like with Wiggy. Greg was trying to get me to say.
People think it's Seabass.
Which is also, I feel like I'm not being treated the same way as Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. When you have Ian Rappaport on the show, or Schefter. So Schefter's on today with Arcan and Hart.
Uh-huh.
When he breaks a story, they're like, who's your source?
Who is it?
No, they're just like, okay, that's happened.
Can you confirm or deny Dubs985 in the Twitch chat says it's Blades?
I'll never say a word.
Okay. Well, I think we're getting
found
closer
it.
To the truth.
I'm taking it to the grave.
Is what we're doing. You can chat along on
old Blades, not new Blades.
/BossaNova. You hit the past Blades.
The big bear.
You can chat along twitch.tv.
The one that didn't hit on your wife.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. No, that was Lucky.
That was Lucky. That was my friend's wife, and that was the old Lucky, and I think he probably had some issues. The new Lucky, I think, is a good guy. The old Lucky, though, bad guy.
Well, let's be honest. You're
accounts.
Never going to trust another Lucky again after that.
No, I can't.
I wouldn't.
And I was like, I got to fight this guy now? Like, this is not what I want to do on a... Actually, it was a St. Patrick's Day parade, so I was probably ready to fight
some
point. And a drop of a hat.
Again, you can chat along on twitch.tv/BostonWEI. You can also watch Jonathan doing phenomenal work again. I would be sweating a little bit if I were Terp.
Well, if I was Terp, I wouldn't even show up anymore.
Doing phenomenal work with some of the memes he's got going on. Mm-hmm. The scoop in the ice cream.
Yeah,
what did he have?
I texted this morning, asking him a question, show-related. Hasn't answered yet.
Wow.
Jeez.
So, I think we need to move on from Terp.
You're on
no, he went
time.
All the President's Men. You
That's
and me
what it was.
As Woodward and Bernstein.
I don't know what I did to earn my way into that, but I'll take it.
You helped clarify things yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Does that make am I Bernstein? I guess that makes me Bernstein.
Yeah, I'll be
right?
Woodward.
Yeah, I think Woodward is who you want to be
or
there.
Or Bernstein.
I think
the Bernstein Bears.
So you can jump in on the Bruins. Don Sweeney's scheduled to speak later today. You'll hear it right here on WEEI. Meanwhile, can anybody beat the Celtics in the East? It doesn't look that way.
No.
We'll get to it next. Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Talking Bruins to start the show. Jim Montgomery out, as you heard here yesterday. In the final, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. Right under the gun, Keith. Good timing yesterday.
We had it.
But you heard it here on Jones and Keith yesterday on WEEI. Uh-huh. What do the Bruins do now? Who's under the most pressure? And are Neely and Sweeney now in the crosshairs? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Legitimately very good win for the Celtics last night. And I don't think, Keith, either of us were under the impression that the Cavs were a true threat to the Celtics in the East. I think when we talked this through yesterday, we both said Celtics and Cavs, 7-game series, Eastern Conference Final, will give the Cavs a game.
Yeah.
It might be a competitive gentleman's sweep.
Might be
but
fun.
We'd give them a game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm doing that anymore.
Taking the game away?
I might.
Yeah.
I thought there was a chance Cleveland cared more about that game last night. And so just because we didn't think Cleveland was a threat, I did think Cleveland had a real shot to win last night's game.
Oh, yeah,
NBA Cup, they're undefeated, it's a one-off, all these things. I was encouraged. The Celtics came out ready to play. You've heard me. I've been very critical of their defense. I don't care if they gave up 117. I think their defense was largely pretty good last night. They fell asleep a little bit in the third quarter. But they came out ready to defend.
Yeah.
They were knocking down shots again, as they do. That's a nice win. And if that's the biggest threat in the East, they don't have a threat in the East.
Well, I do think both things can be true. I think Cleveland can be the second best team in the Eastern Conference and also not be a huge threat. Because the rest of the East is falling apart. You have the Philadelphia 76ers, Tyrese Maxey telling Joel Embiid to show up on time, please, because he's not showing up on time and stuff. You have the Bucks, just a disaster. Nobody else is really ready for it, right? Maybe, you know, like the Magic or the Pacers or these, like, they're not ready. You probably need the Knicks to like get everything together and play perfectly, just roster-wise, for them maybe to be a threat. But I really like Donovan Mitchell, but you can tell he doesn't have a ton of help. he individually is a badass, and he's a scorer, and if he had a little bit more help, you might take him a little bit more seriously. But the big guys kind of are what they are, right? Like Evan Mobley puts up good numbers, and
was good last night.
He was good.
And I kind of poo-pooed him yesterday. I'm like, I know people in the league really like Evan Mobley. I thought Mobley played decently well.
Mobley and Allen are both good players. And
Garland stinks. I tried to tell you this yesterday. Garland is trash.
Well, Yahoo Sports thinks he's the most underrated player in the league.
I think Pritchard's bad. I'm not even joking. I'd take Pritchard over him.
So Garland won't be that bad, I can't imagine, again. He was 3 of 21 from the field. He was horrible. Pritchard was way better yesterday.
He has no soul when it comes to shooting. Like, he doesn't have a feel that I'm the number two on the team. Mitchell wasn't shooting great, but Mitchell's a killer.
He's awesome.
Garland doesn't understand. He doesn't have
fire when ready.
And continued to shoot. He has no conscience.
Yeah.
So that's what bothers me about his game. I would take Pritchard over him.
I do, and this kind of showed its face a little bit in their run in the third quarter, which made it close. I kind of like their bench. George Niang, who... I think he's like a Haverhill guy, played Tilton High School up in New Hampshire. Does not look like a pro player, right? Like,
no.
He's a little, but he's not bad. He's crafty.
He's frumpy.
He is frumpy.
Frumpy is the word I would use.
Ty Jerome, oddly enough about Ty Jerome, didn't take a three last night. He's shooting like 55% from three on the season.
He's never open. They guarded him.
They covered him. And he was actually a little bit niftier around the basket than I gave him credit for. And then Craig Porter was also, like, there are three guys off the bench.
Can I tell you?
Solid.
Craig Porter, I watched that game for maybe a half before I realized that wasn't Kevin Porter Jr.
You're like,
I saw Porter Jr. out there.
Michael Porter Jr. or Kevin Porter Jr.?
Kevin Porter.
There's Porter's all over the place.
Porter's everywhere.
Otto Porter.
I think Kevin Porter
Jr. Were they all juniors too?
Yeah, maybe.
They're all juniors.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Porter Jr.
That's
maybe
bizarre.
Go mix in a Porter the second.
That is
but anyway,
is
yeah,
very
no,
bizarre.
Look, they're deep, but their problem is Donovan Mitchell on any given night can be the best guy on the floor. He wasn't last night. That was Tatum.
But
at any given night, Mitchell can go off and win a game because he can be the best player on the floor, but it's a drop. The Cavs have a lot of nice players. They don't have another guy.
No, they have one all-star, all-NBA type player, and then the other three guys, Mobley, Allen, and Garland, are solid. Like, I think Garland made an all-star team. Maybe Allen might have, like, just when you need big guys. Maybe. I forget if he made an all-star team, but that's sort of what you have in those guys. And also, you saw how the Celtics pretty much controlled the game, and Mobley had 22 points, Allen chipped in with 10, and no Porzingis. And you and I, to our credit, pat us on the back, we've never once said, well, wait till Porzingis gets back, or like, what? They don't need him. They won a title without him.
Sam Van Gundy was doing that on TNT last night. He's like, just wait till they get Porzingis back. I'm like, they might, and he could leave again, and why are we even thinking about that?
I am not going to bank on it, but let's say hypothetically you play the Cavs in a seven-game series, and that happens to be a seven-game series where Porzingis is healthy. I don't think Mobley's as good.
Nope.
They got a million point paints yesterday to sort of make the game close, right? I don't think you get a million point paints, paint points, if you have Porzingis out there. So, yeah, that was...
No, your guy Kata struggled with their size last night.
100%.
That was a struggle for him, and whatever. He's a bench player, and he's a guy who may or may not be in your rotation.
No, he did.
But he had issues with their size last night.
Horford was great. You know, Horford was sticking threes, and he had one of his best games of the season. But, yeah, I mean, in that series in particular, I believe that, you know, Porzingis would make, a clean sweep if you had him. If you don't have him, maybe Mitchell goes off for a game. Maybe they steal one in Cleveland or something like that. But, you know, it's their first loss of the season. We went over it yesterday. I mean, 15-0 is still 15-0.
Yep.
Warriors, who was it? Warriors, Lakers, and one other game.
Knicks.
Knicks. So, like, they had some quality wins. They were, I think... Maybe they put a lot of pressure on themselves for this game. This is probably the one they had circled, being like, hey, if we want to do anything, we have to beat the Celtics.
Advance in the NBA Cup.
We got to move on in the NBA Cup. All the guys want it. You heard Mazzullo pregame. He definitely wants the Cup. He does not want the Cup.
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like the Celtics wanted to play. It might have been to take away the 15-0.
Yeah, I think so.
But they might still want to go to Vegas, Keith. I wouldn't rule that out. I wouldn't rule out they want to go to Vegas.
Possible.
So here's what I would tell you about last night. Celtics started 14-22 from three, and they were running away from Cleveland. You knew that was going to normalize. You knew the Cavs were going to make a run, and it did. That living and dying by the three, I think you saw it within a game. They survived it last night, but I think you saw it. And their threes were down. I mean, they only took 41. It was not an absurd number. It was actually well below their season average.
Right.
But you saw within a game how quickly that can turn. Because when they're making threes, nobody can keep up with them.
That's
clear.
It's like not fair.
But when the threes stop happening, Cleveland was right back. It was a 2-point game. Mitchell had a three at one point to tie it. Like, they're right back in the game when the threes start drying up. So that is something to keep an eye on, and that's the danger of living and dying by the three. But credit to the Celtics. They only took 41 last night. They're averaging, I think, 51 a night.
One thing I don't think is sustainable for the Cavs is they put up a graphic yesterday, and through 15 games, they had their top three-point shooters. And I mentioned Ty Jerome shooting 55%. They also had, like, another four or five guys shooting, like, 42% or better.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to come down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe Mitchell will be right around there. But, like, those other guys for the whole season aren't going to shoot that well. We talked about it before the game. You know, their three-point shots are up, but their percentage is fantastic. Like, that's going to level out over the course of a season.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here. On Jones and Keefe, we will carry Don Sweeney live when he hits the podium at Bruins practice, his reaction to Jim Montgomery being fired. News you heard here first yesterday on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We'll continue with the Celtics. You like Angry Tatum last night? That's the Jason Tatum I wanted against the Golden State Warriors. You got him last night. We'll get to it next.